wildfires burning between Santa Barbara and San Diego counties, stretching from the deserts to the ocean at this hour. Only three are contained. Many homes have been destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced. Thousands of firefighters, Marines, and National Guard troops are toiling away on the ground while aerial tankers drop flame retardant from above. At least two people were reported dead. The gusty Santa Ana winds fanning the flames are expected to diminish by Wednesday afternoon. President Bush has declared the region a federal disaster area. He'll visit the devastation on Thursday. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has ordered tougher oversight of private guard companies in Iraq since the controversial battle involving Blackwater contractors in Baghdad last month. 17 Iraqis died in the battle, prompting outrage from Iraqi citizens and the government. U.S. Defense Chief Robert Gates is expected to ask NATO allies to provide more troops and equipment for the war in Afghanistan. A two-day alliance meeting begins tomorrow in the Netherlands. The Czech government today announced its support of a U.S. proposal to build a missile defense site in the Republic, but the Foreign Affairs Deputy Minister said parliamentary approval for the plan will take longer than originally expected. Russia's foreign minister is in Tokyo protesting Japan's proposed missile shield project being developed with the U.S. Construction began nearly a decade ago when North Korea lobbed a ballistic missile over Japan and into the ocean. The Somalite government today released the chief of the UN food program unharmed. Government troops gave no explanation for his kidnapping last week in Mogadishu. The White House has proposed a $1.4 billion funding package to assist Mexico and Latin American countries battle drug cartels. It'd be the largest aid project to the region since the year 2000. In New Orleans, a federal judge has ruled assets can be seized from the district attorney's office to satisfy a $3.65 million judgment won by dozens of white office workers in a discrimination lawsuit filed in 2005. A Dallas district court judge has declared a mistrial in the three-month court case against an Islamic charity and several of its employees. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business next.
Do you know the expression, put on your best face? Never was that suggestion more important, especially in the increasingly fast-paced world of the Internet. The people at Byte Technology are experts in making sure that the hits their clients' websites receive turn into a satisfying visit and more business. Byte gets to the core of every business and brings the heart of the operation to the Internet. Whether you are selling products or services, reaching out for new business, or supplying information to a sector of the business community, it is vital that you attract the right visitors and deliver them what they need quickly and effectively. Byte Technology goes further, providing maintenance updates to keep your site ahead of the curve, ahead of the competition. Assure your company's future. Talk with the team at Byte Technology to learn how you can put on your best internet face. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
The Space Shuttle Discovery had a successful launch from Kennedy this morning. The seven-astronaut crew is bringing equipment up to the ISS that'll enable Japan and the EU to connect labs to the main station. MIT's nuclear reactor is undergoing inspection by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. A worker at the plant tested positive for a significant dose of radiation. California scientists say they've discovered that the portions of human brains that govern emotions are significantly impaired by lack of sleep. Intellect and the immune system is also severely affected. Samsung has announced the development of a new 64 gigabyte flash memory chip. Commercial production starts in 2009. Netflix beat Wall Street expectations. It posted a 23% rise in their net. Dell will start selling its computers and accessories at some 1,400 Staples office supply stores. Executives say the move is better to compete against Hewlett-Packard. Walmart, which already owns 50%, is poised to purchase a Japanese supermarket chain outright. The $875 million deal will add 400 stores to Walmart's fold. Countrywide has embarked on a plan offering some kind of relief to 82,000 mortgagees whose home loans are due to adjust by the end of next year. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 109 points. The NASDAQ rose 45. S&P 500 gained 13. Oil dropped 75 cents. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Pick me confidential. kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 60 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Tuesday, October 23rd. If you are listening on a evening at about 9 p.m. Eastern Time on a Tuesday, that is October the 23rd, you are indeed listening to a live program, and you are welcome to call in and talk with myself and the guest. The guest will be appearing shortly, and I'll introduce him. The telephone numbers to reach the studio toll-free are 877, the number 4 head-on. That's 877, the number 4 head-on, which translates into 877-443-2366. If you have unlimited long distance, please use 304-658-3333. That saves the studio a nickel or a buck. That's 304-658-3333, and it rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks if you have a question for myself or for the guest. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests as well as to the audio archives from past shows and links to the guests' websites. You'll find links to our chat room, which is active now, and I am monitoring it. And you'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site. There you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, of which I'm only a small part. There are links there to Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links there for that you can locate the music that you hear on the show. There's several sites there for downloading music that you hear on the show. And, let's see, I should put my glasses on at this point. Okay, we had a glasses crisis just minutes before the show started. I lost my regular pair of glasses, so I'm wearing a pair of reading glasses, which I have to put on and take off as required. But we won't go into being 54 years old tonight. We'll just leave that one lie. Our guest this evening is Elliot Sokolov, and I'm so pleased to have him with us. Elliot was scheduled a month or so ago. Elliot is a producer and co-writer for Ernest Cole. We were going to have Elliot on in conjunction with Ernest, but Elliot is a force in his own right, and in fact deserves his own segment on this show, and so that's what we're doing this evening. He's, of course, a composer and a producer and musician. He's based in New York City, has a background in classical music and rock and pop, electronica, musical theater. Elliot's worked in a wide range of musical styles for over 20 years. He specializes in creating uniquely original scores and songs for a wide variety of films and television, animation, advertising, dance, theater, performance art, corporate audiovisual, and online media production. His feature film works include the scores for the independent feature Broadway Damage, which I have just seen over the last month, and it is truly a wonderful film. If you have not seen it, it is a gay romantic comedy, a must-see, a very uplifting film, Broadway Damage. He's also done the scores for Comeback, and documentary work include The Restless Consciousness and Golden Threads, The Burning Wall, television scoring for Good Old Boy, Seasonal Differences, Nova, Nature, National Geographic. The list goes on and on and on. In fact, I could spend the entire 2 hours reading his list of credits. He's also written music for advertising, commercial spots, for instance, for ITT Industries, Citizens Watches, AT&T, Burger King, Bell Atlantic, United Technologies, Duracell, I wonder if he did, dun, 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 and numerous others. In any case, with no more delay, I would like to welcome Elliot to Strictly Confidential. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you at last, sir. I understand you have a very busy schedule and that you've just returned from Tuscany.
Yeah, I did. I was in Tuscany visiting good friends for just about 3 weeks. And Elliot, some music there as well.
Yes. Well, Elliot had mentioned that you were You were over there the last time I chatted with him, and I know you stay busy constantly. Elliot, you're from New York City originally?
I know you're born there and raised in New York City. I grew up in Queens and in Westchester County. So I'm a New York City boy, but I've traveled all over the country and in lots of other places, especially in Europe.
Well, Elliot, do you come from a musical family? How did you manage to get such a huge...
Well, my parents are not musicians, but they are very into the arts. I grew up with lots of music always around the house and being exposed to museums and art galleries and concerts. And in fact, I have two brothers, and one of them is an artist and the other one is another musician. So we all got... that bug, I guess.
My. Well, there's a lot of you. I'm expecting then that there was a piano in the house when you were growing up. Is that how you learned?
Yeah. I actually am not a great pianist. I never took piano lessons, believe it or not. My instruments were clarinet, saxophone, and guitar. But I get around okay on keyboards. I wish I had had lessons as a kid.
I see. And you produce work. You produce for other folks also. Do you produce music for a wide variety of people?
I used to work with a whole bunch of musical theater people. I'm dating myself here, but back in the early 1980s, I was in the BMI Musical Theater Workshop, which is run in New York City, and it's a whole bunch of known shows have come out of there, including Little Shop of Horrors, and the people who wrote Ragtime came out of that workshop, and people like that. So I had an early studio in my apartment, just a four-track studio, when that was state-of-the-art, and ended up having people like Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty, who wrote Ragtime, and Alan Menken, who wrote Little Shop and lots of Disney hits, and Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent, all used to record in my studio back then.
I'll be darned. So you must have a huge apartment. I'm thinking one of those converted warehouses.
No, not at all. In fact, at that point, I was in a fifth-floor walk-up on the Upper West Side in Manhattan, and it was not luxury by any means, but I guess I had what it took to do good work, and that's what counts.
Well, you have to keep your nose to the grindstone on that. I've seen so many credits here, but surely, being in New York, you've had something to do with Broadway. I'm not seeing it listed here, but I just know that somewhere in one of your closets, you've locked away something in Broadway.
Well, no, actually, I've not been involved with an actual Broadway show, but I've done several scores for off and off Broadway shows, but the Broadway thing, you know, for whatever reason, wasn't something I got into.
Well,
I have plenty of friends who have.
Well, your list of credits, you're certainly not lacking by listing Broadway. That's for darn sure. Tell us about Sesame Street. That must have been fascinating working with those folks.
Yeah, I worked with an animator, Al Jarno, who did animations for them for probably 15 years or so. And I worked with him for about 10 years, scored all his animations for Sesame Street. And by the time we got finished with them, I think we'd done something like 120 different animations, many of which are still running on Sesame Street, and they're in libraries all over the world. So that's a nice thing to have. And
now,
really fun to work on.
You actually scored the music for the Sesame Street, these animations, or did you do the animations also?
No, I just did the music. Al Jarno did the animations. But it was an interesting process, because he would come to me with just a 2-minute animation with no music or sound at all. And I had to come up with, you know, of course, the score. But at certain points, we had to work with kids, produce their vocals and their voiceovers to use in the animations. So that was a whole other side of it, just getting everything together and coordinating that with the music and making it all work together. And then he would lay that into the animation, and the result is what we had on Sesame Street.
Fascinating. Did you enjoy working with the kids?
I did. You know, you have to be in a certain mindset to work with kids. But I love kids, and it was fine. I had a good time doing it. And I got to kind of employ the kids of my friend, you know, for voiceovers, which was a fun thing to do.
I see. And Broadway Damage. Now, that was a wonderful movie. I assume you think
I'm glad
you
got to see it.
It's perhaps one of the most lighthearted. You know, so many times LGBT films take on some kind of a dark tone where somebody's twisted or dies. This is a delightful romantic comedy. Tell us about your work with Broadway Damage. Did you do it in New York, and how did you hook up with
it? Yes, it was done in New York. It was written and directed by Victor Mignotti, who's a very talented man. And this was his first feature as well. And it was a lot of fun. And in this case, also, he would come to me with like rough cuts of different scenes, and we would talk about what his feel for the music would be. And he was very demanding. I sometimes have to go through 3 or 5 revisions for any scene. And then when we were all done deciding what he liked and what worked and what didn't, we went to the studio and recorded it. What I do when I work with a film is what most composers do these days. They do a temp version of the score, which is kind of rough MIDI. I don't know if you're familiar with the term MIDI.
Sure, yeah. Well, around here, we're fairly
Of what the instruments will sound like. And once the director agrees that we see eye to eye and everything's working well, you go in and replace those temporary MIDI tracks with real instruments. So that's the whole process. And the film itself was pretty well received. It won an audience award at the L.A. Outfest. This was in, 1999, I think. And the film still gets a good amount of interest, believe it or not.
Well, it's an amazing film. I really did enjoy it, although I'm afraid I haven't seen any of the Sesame Street episodes that I can recall. But
yeah.
I have to admit to you, I secretly like Sesame Street. It truly is just in some ways a lot on my level. Well done.
I agree. I like it too.
Yeah. I like the there's one of the monsters in there. There's a couple of them. They start this yip 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 sequence that which to us reminds us so much of the Fundies and the right wing to the Bush administration. It seems
right.
They never ask a question. It's yip. In fact, we probably use that here. I should point out that Elliot's website, by the way, Elliot, we are posting it in chat. For those of you who are not in chat, it's at www.ElliotSokolov.com. And Elliot, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, Sokolov?
Yes.
And the spelling
is... You're pronouncing it better than most people.
Thank you. The spelling is ElliotSokolov. That's ElliotSokolov.com, or you can stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com if you normally stop by there, and you'll find links to his site within his calendar date, which would be today's date, and today is, I'm helpless without the computer, October the 23rd. Elliot, you've written some and this will surprise people. In fact, it really surprised me when I first heard some of these tracks. I believe you have a track listing. I'm not sure which one to play. But you've done some outstanding and biting parodies of both George Bush and Ronald Reagan.
Yes, I have. It's kind of my way of getting even. you know, there's not too much any one person can do to change the government and change the world. But I feel like I had to give my opinions by using their voices and switching them around to say what they really should be saying. So especially I Am Who I Am, the George W. Bush song.
Now, is the track, it's been a week or so since I've heard these, is the I Am Who I Am track the track that also mixes in some Ronald Reagan along with it?
No, I Am Who I Am only uses Bush. I think what you're thinking of, and there's a song called See the Light, Feel the Heat. which uses Reagan's voice,
sort
of a dance music alternative radio hit back in the mid-1980s when Reagan was president, and that's when it was done. And believe it or not, there's still interest in that track, and it's been recently re-released on three different compilations. So that was a nice surprise to me.
Ah.
And the compilations are, one is called 80s Underground Club Hits, and another one is called Essential House, for anybody to check them out.
Well, the studio is still, I believe, loading some of the tracks. I'm not sure if they have installed yet I Am Who I Am or See the Light, Feel the Heat. Studio, do you have either one of those ready to go? Good. The studio has them both. Today was a last-minute sort of day. How about we start with, we'll do them sequentially in historical order. Why not start with See the Light, Feel the Heat? Now, this has been re-released. Has it been remixed, too, or just re-released
as
it was?
No, what's been re-released now is actually the original B-side of the record. And what you're going to play is the original A-side radio version. It was out on Streetwise Records. It was mixed by Arthur Baker and edited by the Latin Rascals.
I
believe it came in 1984.
So this is Ronald Reagan as he truly is in a dance floor rendition, right?
Right.
I can't wait. Bob, would you run Shine On Through, please, for us, the track called Shine On Through?
No, See the Light, Feel the Heat is what you...
I'm so sorry. Thank you, Elliot. It starts with an S, and I'm using my reading glasses, so you can just imagine how well I'm seeing. See the Light, Feel the Heat, one of the two S songs, Bob. Thank you.
Give it to them, give it to them, give it to them. See the light. Feel the heat. See the light. Feel the heat. Didn't have to be this way. Didn't have to be this way. Be this way. We still have a long way to tango. We still have a lot further to tango. Dollars higher. $100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
Feel the heat. We're
see the light. You're dealing with human beings. Feel the heat. Feel the heat. Feel the heat.
Well, I must say, Elliot, that's well done. A couple of comments for you, by the way. The chat room says, go Ronnie, tell Satan hi. And the production room is saying that if Sean Hannity heard it, his head would explode. And
well,
production
I hope.
Is, we hope so, too. We're not very fond of him here. Production is also threatening to steal it and run it on various other shows of the network. I don't think you'd mind, would you?
No, I would love that. Please do.
Wonderful. We will. Now, I'm confused. You know that the Bush administration is famous for rewriting history on the fly.
Right.
Right. And every day the news day starts over fresh as if nothing ever had happened before. It's a brand new day, so there are no conflicting comments. There's no hypocrisy. Nothing is ever brought up. It's all very nice. So, you know, one of the things we say around here about Reagan is they waited 5 days to bury him because they were hoping he would come back from the dead. And in the 80s is one thing, but I'm surprised there's enough continuity but with dancers these days to understand the scope of how bad Reagan was. How do you explain that? I'm just wondering how you think that the crowd reacts to it today in the same way, or are they, they must be up to speed if they're clamoring for re-releases.
Well, I think maybe they're hearing it more as a beat more than a political statement, because somehow Reagan has been turned into a saint by the media, and which I don't understand. But I don't know what the young people who listen to it now are getting into, other than the beat. I guess we should ask the listeners if there are any of them who know the song, why they like it these days. So,
good point.
Because it's a mystery to me, politically, why they, you know, what they relate to and what they don't. And that song is sort of more vague and not as pointed criticism as the current Bush song, which is really much more to the point and makes him tell the truth about the lies he's been telling the public.
Well, I love the title, I Am Who I Am, and in fact, when I first glanced at that, when we first began talking about your music a couple of months ago, I thought, oh, this must be a remix of Gloria.
Yeah, right.
Right. And as it turned out, I was completely floored when I actually first played it. I Am Who I Am is not the song that you're thinking it might be,
right,
to LGBT listeners. It is entirely different. Now, when was this I Am Who I Am done, Elliot?
I finished that in late 2006, and it was just about at the point where Cheney shot his friend, because I remember the line, I found the line of Bush saying, Cheney has a smoking gun, or something like that. Or
yeah.
I made him say, Cheney has a smoking gun. He said something about a smoking gun. So it was around that time, and as opposed to See the Light, Feel the Heat, in that song I had a partner, Jack Waldman, who worked on it with me. I Am Who I Am, I did all on my own.
Well, I think that we should go ahead and run that, because truly, this will surprise everyone. It's probably one of the very best Bush remixes with his sound bites that I've ever heard. And musically, it's just perfection. Elliot, I got to hand it to you. You've done good.
Thank
on
you.
This one. Bob, if you would roll I Am Who I Am.
I've come here tonight to report to all Americans, Vice President Cheney has a smoking gun. Vice President Cheney has a nuclear weapon and a recklessness and a hatred. Secretary Rumsfeld could bring a catastrophic harm to America on a massive scale. America, Vice President Cheney will be stopped. Will be stopped. $200 million, Iraq.
$87 million. $87 million. $87 billion.
$200 million, $25 billion, $25 billion, $200 million, $200 million, $27 billion, $200 million, $27 billion, I am who I am.
Feels good, do it.
Invade somebody. I am who I am.
Feels good, do it.
Conceive and deny.
Do it.
I am who I am.
Low expectations.
Corporate scandals.
Feels good, do it.
Trevor Kahn to America.
Do it. Do it.
We're making progress, killing soldiers and Marines.
But we're doing the right thing.
To kill thousands of people.
We're making progress.
Iraq, billion, thousands of bombs and shells, serious consequences. And we haven't killed or injured American soldiers and Marines. Iraq has developed spray devices that could be used on
Secretary Rumsfeld.
Cheney. Thank God Dick Cheney said yes. Took cruel and desperate measures.
Fanaticism.
Leave Iraq.
Terrorism.
Leave Iraq.
Killing.
Leave Iraq. The game is over.
No justification.
America fully supports chaos. America fully supports
the future of fear.
I am who I am.
If it feels good, do it.
Contempt for all the rules of the world.
Do it.
I am who I am.
If it feels good, do it.
Secret police with force.
Do it.
I am who I am. Killing men and women.
Do it. If it feels good, do it.
Catastrophic harm to America.
Do it. Do it.
Create instability. It's a good thing. A nuclear weapon. It's a good thing. Secret police. It's a good thing. Invade somebody again.
It's a good thing. Do it.
Well, I'm a failure. I'm a great danger to our nation. And I'm a tragedy of history. I'm the worst president. Vice President Cheney has nuclear weapons, hundreds of pounds, chemical deadly gas, weapons of mass destruction, poisons, weapons of mass destruction, ballistic missiles. Surveillance photos reveal the Vice President storing arms and ammunition in mosques. Surveillance photos reveal Secretary Rumsfeld responsible for the murder. America believes that all people are terrorist killers. America believes that all people are the enemy. I've ordered all departments and agencies to live at the mercy of a dictator. I am who I am.
If it feels good, do it.
I am who I am.
Disgraceful.
I am who I am.
If it feels good, do it.
With force.
A smoking gun.
I am who I am.
If it feels good, do it.
The triumph of hatred, we will prevail. I am who I am.
If it feels good.
It's unacceptable.
Do it.
It's unacceptable. Contempt for all the rules.
It is the president's job.
Catastrophic harm to America.
It is the president's job.
Deceive and deny and abuse of Iraqi detainees. Corporate scandals.
It is the president's job.
I am who I am.
Who I am.
Who I am.
Ineffective.
Unacceptable. And without conscience. Capable of killing millions.
Well done, Elliot. And again, the comments and chat are everyone is astounded. I suspect this song, too, will be hijacked and used amongst the programs that had already.
Play it all you want.
It is remarkable. And, it certainly captures the abyss of evil that the administration lives in. This whole thing about live in fear, we've completely lost America to be free and to be able to, be safe in our own homes. All of this stuff has been traded in for fear. How well you've captured
that. Absolutely right. And not only in America, in Europe, it's amazing how disrespected the U.S. these days. I just spent a few weeks in Italy, and before you get to know any Italians, you have to be friendly with them, you have to point out that you don't like Bush. If they think you're like a loyal Bushy, they won't even talk to you.
Elliot, is a general assumption.
Best in the whole world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He indeed has. And this remark about our being hated in the world, or that it's something that's been going on for a while. Is there assumption? Do you think that most of us are in line with Bush?
No, I think the word has gotten out through the media that Bush is very unpopular. But I think people just want to make sure when they meet an American in a foreign country that you're one of the people who doesn't agree. So, and once that's established, everything's great.
Well, there's
but
a huge...
the U.S. Is not what it used to be. I mean, people used to look up to this country as an example, and he's really dragged it down.
Yes, sir, he has indeed. There's, of course, a large body of evidence that says that the election in 2000 was stolen. In fact, all of the votes in Florida were not counted. And in fact, there's a large body of evidence saying that the elections and the subsequent elections were also stolen. In case in point, Ohio, so many people are going to jail on felony charges for election fraud there. In Europe, is there a general understanding that we didn't put him there, that these elections are stolen, or do they still believe we did this?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I didn't specifically talk to people about that. So, and, you know, I'm no expert on Europe in general, but I just can speak from my experience. He's just, you know, not liked and makes Americans be a suspect in every way. So that alone is a bad thing.
Yes.
And of course, there's the whole other, the business side, and it really relates to, you know, because if people don't trust Americans anymore, that's bad for the whole world, really.
Well, yes, it is. We have we've lost so much, both at home and in the world, due to this.
Right.
This evil jackass, as I refer to him. Callers, if to point out again, Elliot is joining us this evening, but he won't be able to remain the full 2 hours. In fact, Elliot has an extremely busy schedule. He will be here 45 minutes to an hour. So if you'd like to talk to Elliot, you should go ahead and make those calls now. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4 head-on. That's 877, the number 4 head-on. Or if you have unlimited long distance, please use 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333. Elliot, what are your current projects?
Well, as you know, I'm working with Ernest Cole, who's a dance music artist, and we're working on an album. And that's been in progress for almost a year already, and hopefully we're in the home stretch. We'll see. I know Ernest is going to be working with me the next solid week to try to get this done. We both carved out time for it. I'm also going to be working on a documentary called King's Park, which was done by Lucy Weiner, who's a great filmmaker, documentary maker. She made the film Golden Threads, which I previously worked on back, when was that, over 6 years ago, I guess. And she also made some of the early gay films like Before Stonewall, that kind of thing. And Golden Threads is a really interesting film. It's about the a woman named Christine Burton who started a social group for women over 50 who wanted to meet each other. So kind of one of the early lesbian groups. And during the course of the documentary, this was totally unexpected, of course, but Christine, who was, I guess, in her 70s, had a stroke.
And the film turned into not only about that, but about that whole situation.
Not only
about the social group, but about Christine's crisis. So it's a very captivating film.
Yeah, Before Stonewall. Was she involved with After Stonewall, which is the second movie in that series?
I'm actually not sure.
I see. And tell us about, in working with Elliot, you know, I understand that Tom Moulton, thank you. I do that with you guys all the time. See, I'm a first letter kind of guy.
You know, they're all the same.
I should always require that anybody I work with on the show have separate, have distinct letters in their first names.
Right.
If working with Ernest, help us to understand how Tom Moulton fits in. I understand you're doing the remix. It's the Elliot Summer Night Anthem Club mix, and that is Live Like You Were Dying. Is Tom
right.
Moulton doing a different version? I'm not sure how Tom fits in. Tom was with us a while back, too.
Okay, well, what Ernest does and what a lot of dance music people
do is they take their one original version of the song and they ask different producers
to do their own take on it, their own remix. So in my case, I met Ernest after he'd already been working with Tom Moulton for a while. So Tom did some of his remixes and produced some other tracks besides that song for Ernest. But in my case, Ernest came to me with just a vocal track, nothing else. No instruments, just totally solo vocal of the song Live Like You Were Dying, which had been a country hit by Tim McGraw, and Ernest did his own version. But once he did the first version, he wanted to hear other producers' take on it. So he came to me with the vocal, and I kind of constructed my own version of the song around that.
And really?
In my case, I wanted to reflect kind of the original country feel while still being a dance music song. So I used a lot of guitar and kind of played some country licks and things like that within the dance music groove. Kind of a different take on it from everyone else.
Elliot, and, that's amazing.
I know Tom Moulton has worked with Julian Moss on his version, and there were, I think, four or five other remixers who worked on it, too. So they're all on the web somewhere for download and listening.
Well, this copy that I have, Elliot's Summer Night Anthem Mix, this is a track that you created all of the music for this? All you had was his vocals? You did all of this music?
Yeah, I did all the tracks. There's guitar, keyboard, drums, which is basically using drum machines and loops. I don't play the actual drums. But everything else I actually played.
Elliot, that's just amazing, because this is a complex track. This isn't just some, you know, mersey-dotes and dozy-dotes thing going on here. This is a huge track. How, it runs for, what, about 8 minutes, isn't it? Six, eight minutes?
I believe it's closer to nine, something like that. But,
just amazing.
That's the way music is produced these days, all on computers. You know, in fact, in dance music, I'm unusual in that I like to have some live element, like guitar or saxophone or, you know, something like that. But much of the dance music we hear in clubs is totally computer and machine.
Well, that's just astounding. Elliot, do you have time to remain with us while we run that mix?
Sure.
Well, great. The song is Live Like You Were Dying by Ernest Cole. And this, the studio you have this listed as Elliot's Summer Night Anthem Club Mix. And, folks, this just blows me away. The only thing Elliot had was a vocal track. Everything else is pure Elliot. If you had run that.
Revenge, and I love you. what would I do with it?
That is an amazing track. I have to tell you, what was Ernest's first impression? What was his reaction when he first heard that?
He immediately liked it. I actually hadn't.
This was the first thing I worked with him on, and it was, I guess, kind of a test of what I could do. And it, I guess it blew him away because we're still working together. So, that was just a year ago.
Well, it's amazing to imagine that this music came from the same mind that created the two montages we heard earlier, the Ronald Reagan and the George Bush. There's one touch on here. Apparently, you have also done a mix of Jerry Falwell and Jimmy Swaggart, and you have been awarded a fellowship, the New York Foundation, partly based on that work. The Adventures of Luce Killevold. Now, on this network, there's no fundamentalist that we don't go after. We've got to hear this track, please. Could you tell us a little bit about the Adventures of Luce Killevold?
Okay, well, what you're going to play is just one section out of several that.
The life of an audio cartoon character called Luce Killevold, and that's actually an anagram of my name. So it's kind of a, you know, just things that were on my mind. There are different sections. This section you're going to play is called Don't Take No. There's another section that's called No Big Deal, and another section that's called The History of Underwear. So it's kind of lots of things that were on my mind at the time. And this is something I finished a while back, something like 12 years ago, I think.
Does this go with his animation?
No, there's no animation. No, it's an audio cartoon character. That's kind of the way just the warped mind visualized it. I mean, it could be done. Could be an animation made to it, but it wasn't done specifically for that.
I see. This is something. In fact, I have not heard this before, audience. I merely read the description of it, and it's something I definitely want to hear. Studio, if you had written Killevold 5.
It's under the category of more than music, it's audio art. It's kind of a collage of different sounds, and Falwell and Jimmy Swaggart and Reagan and George Bush Sr. is in there, as well as the voices of several friends of mine and, you know, little snippets I took of crowd noises from who knows where.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you. Bob, if you would run that, please.
Just say
God can
just say no.
Don't take no for an answer.
God can save America.
There is evil in the world,
just
evil in the world,
and
evil in the world.
Just say,
just say no one hears. Say no one hears. Say.
I'm sick and tired.
Still the tide of evil.
There is sin and evil in the world.
Regrettably, we are living in such a time.
Anything would be better than what we have now.
Just.
God can save America.
I wouldn't do that.
The radicals and the perverts and the liberals and the leftists and
God,
the radicals.
God can save America.
And the perverts and the radicals and the liberals
just
and the perverts and the leftists and the radicals and the leftists and the
radicals.
That's amazing. I have to tell you something. While our producer was listening to this track, while we were all hearing it, he noticed he's quite a wit. He noticed while this was running that it is an anagram of your name, and he doesn't have the cheat notes like I do here. So he's in awe of you. He says we're dealing with genius, and I happen to agree. No wonder you won the award. I've kept you on for almost an hour now. I want to open it up to you to say whatever you would like to say to the listeners, and perhaps introduce another track as you go. We talk about so many things, and I throw darts, but I don't always hit exactly what a guest would like to talk about. Do you have some plans or projects, or just in general would like to say to the listeners?
Well, in terms of what other things you can play, there's a whole other side of my music that we kind of haven't explored, and that's kind of the classical side. I have a classical training. I have an MA in composition from Columbia. And that's something I still try to do when I can, although it's not something that leads to much money. But one thing I think you could play is a piece called Pipe Dreams that you have there, which is for organ and saxophone. And it was recorded by the late organist Leonard Raver, who was the organist with the New York Philharmonic and was also a good friend of mine. And he recorded it on a CD called Contemporary American Organ Music. And it's a piece that, you know, he should be more widely remembered, and this is a piece that should be more widely heard. So what I've given you is the second movement of three. And, again, the organist is Leonard Raver, and the saxophone player is Peter Sayano.
Wonderful. We would love to play that. And can you remain with us, or am I?
Sure, I can remain for a little while.
Okay, wonderful. We'd love to hear your comments. And, studio, if you'd go ahead and run this track called Pipe Dreams, please.
That's right. Thank you.
just beautiful. And the closing part with the low bass organ note and the sax is just stunning. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Do I recall correctly earlier in our conversations you were telling us that the sax was one of the instruments that you most like or most comfortable with?
I used to play tenor sax. It's one of my favorite instruments. That and alto sax, which we just heard. But I didn't play on this recording. I'm nowhere near
unique.
That good. I can't play it.
But what a unique conversation. Who would have thought a pipe organ and a sax? Just
right.
That was a piece that needed to be done. And again, the chat room loved it. You wrote that when?
It was originally written in, when was it? 1982, and revised in, I think, 88.
Well, you were
and
just a kid in 1982.
Came out about that time.
So what, you were in your 20s or early 30s?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a child prodigy stuff we're listening to. That
been all downhill since. No, I'm just kidding.
I should think not. I should think Ernest hooked up with the right guy when he hooked up with you on the music. I'm floored. I don't think there are any hands being held up if I ask that. If anyone thinks we're not talking to a musical genius, I don't see any hands going up.
That's really nice to hear. Thanks.
You've been a remarkable guest, and I want to let you know that please remain in touch with me. If you release any new music or tracks you'd like to run on the show, please just drop me an email. You're welcome to come on, phone in the number and introduce them as a short segment or come back as a guest. You're more than welcome to be here.
Thank you. I'd love to do that. And thanks for having me on. And I'm a big fan of this, so. I've gotten exposed to your show through Ernest being on, and I've listened a lot since then.
Have you? Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. I'm honored to hear that. Huh?
Yeah.
and you think we're kicking butt adequately here? Do you?
Definitely. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. In closing, before I let you go, would you introduce one more of your tracks, and we'll run that after you go?
Okay. I guess what I should play next is something more in the pop or rock vein, and this is a song called Just Look in Our Eyes, and it was written by myself with Michael Callen and Marsha Malamud. And I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Callen.
I'm not.
Was a singer-songwriter and AIDS activist who unfortunately died, I think, in 1993. But we did this a year or two before his death, and it was done as a possible song for a film, a Hollywood film, that never got finished, unfortunately. So this song has never been released. And I think this could be the first broadcast of it anywhere, as far as I know. So,
excellent.
It's Just Look in Our Eyes by me, Michael Callen, and Marsha Malamud.
Wonderful. And we will run that. And thank you, Elliot. God bless you. And honestly, thank you for being on the show and putting up with our delays and reschedules.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening to you, sir. A wonderful guest. I am blessed with some of the most outstanding people on the planet being guests on this show. And, in fact, they make this show. I'm sure that you would have grown very weary of me if I were the only person that were here 2 hours a night. In any case, this is the song that our friend Elliot Sokolov just introduced for us, and it's called Just Look in Our Eyes.
Apologize. Why can't it be? Why can't we end?
And I honestly have to tell you, and I believe this would be echoed by many of our listeners, that he was perhaps one of the most significant talents we've had on this show. And by every means, the widest range of genius. You just have to wonder, so many brilliant people that you just don't always meet. In any case, I do hope that he comes back and joins us again for a future show. And I am seeing that it is 10:12, so we're going to forget about the 12 part. And as we come up on the break, this is Peter Godbold on Strictly Confidential, exclusively.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. This is the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience.
And compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com in supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. It's our Halloween special featuring plenty of spectacular songs. We'll have some new music and Night Sounds dedications with Erica Richards. So don't miss it. It should be a thriller.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And welcome back to Strictly Confidential. I believe that's my end of break track. I'm unsure, I'm not familiar with that one, but it sounds like something I would play. The next story could be called $17.95 tape recorder. Don't leave home without it. Or it could be called the most horrific and disturbing piece of audio you have ever heard. This occurred in Tennessee. In Campbell County, it occurred in 2004. Some of you know this story. Some of you don't. To those who know this story, let this stand as a reminder that we are still living in Bush America. To those of you who do not know this story, let it serve to introduce you to our world. What I'm about to share with you could happen nowhere except Bush America, or perhaps the Taliban. A woman, a married woman, poor, and her husband, living in a rural area in Tennessee, in Campbell County, in a broken-down mobile home, single-wide, with an old refrigerator in the yard and a couple of broken-down cars. Poor family that, for whatever reason, purchased a $17.95 cassette tape recorder. A cassette tape recorder that his wife started, turned on, and hid in the house when they saw the sheriff's department drive up. A tape recorder that recorded the first 45 minutes, a single side of a C90 audio cassette, the first 45 minutes that of audio I still can't believe. It's unbelievable. You'll hear it here. Of course, not the entire 45 minutes. I've isolated out about the first 8, maybe 9 minutes of it, maybe slightly less. The audio quality is poor. Again, it was recorded on a very low-cost battery-operated cassette recorder, you know, the kind with the piano keys and you push the button, it's all mechanical and starts recording with the built-in mic on the front. The kind you would probably pick up at Walmart or Best Buy or any number of retailers. You see, the sheriff's department in this county had an arrest warrant for her husband. He had not paid his probation officer. Now, failure to pay your probation officer can result in violation of probation. Normally it does, and an arrest warrant. The sheriff's department had the authority to go out and arrest him for failing to pay on his probation, whether it was the cost of supervision or restitution, I do not know. It costs to be on probation. There, each state charges a per month fee, which can amount to $40, $50, $60 a month just for the pleasure of being on probation, in addition to any restitution involved. But you see, the sheriff's department had a confidential informant. Now, let me tell you, a confidential informant is a government salary career criminal. And they're employed by the gangster government with complete immunity from prosecution. And that was the only evidence that these sheriff's officers had when they went far, far, far beyond serving a warrant on failure to pay a civil contract, in effect, with a probation officer. I'll tell you more about the story after we hear the audio. I'm going to read to you the very beginning, because at the very beginning it is difficult to hear what is being said. Basically, the tape recorder is turned on as the sheriffs pull up in the yard. This is the scenario. Mr. Seiler ran out the back door. He apparently had had experiences with the Campbell County Sheriff's Department before and just preferred not to be arrested that day. He ran out the back door. Mrs. Seiler met the sheriff's department as they came in. Yeah, he told her to leave. He said, before you leave, look and make sure you check your purse. Look and make sure you're not leaving anything. You're not leaving any large amount of money, or leaving with. He didn't want her to leave with any money. He said, I want to check it. We don't want you running off. Told her to go down to a store around the corner. Just making sure you're on the up and up. The phone rings. He said, leave your phone ringing. This is a group of five sheriff's officers who are in the house, two of which went out to the backyard to get her husband and drag him back in because he fell trying to run away. Running away from the sheriff's department is not always a good idea. Nonetheless, that's not what the point of this story is. The officer says to his wife, you know what this is all about? Mrs. Seiler says, yeah, he ain't been able to get down there and pay his bondman, his probation officer. The sheriff says, there's other things going on here in this house. Don't you sit there and lie to me, sweetheart. Now you get your son out of here. I don't want him seeing what's going to happen. Both of you-uns, Y-U-N-S, both of you-uns are going to jail, okay? Because that's what's going to happen. You got to quit selling drugs. He needs to quit selling drugs. She tries to reply that we're not selling drugs. The officer says, we talked to a lawyer. Get on out of here. Get on down to the store. Then the officers begin talking amongst themselves about how they caught him trying to run out the back door. He fell down. Officer says, yeah, he got hung up in that shit. Another officer says, yeah, he's fucked up. The beginning of the tape that you can understand pretty much starts up with, you fucking dope dealing days are over with. You see, they arrived without a search warrant because they were dispatched to simply serve an arrest warrant for failure to pay probation. There was no search warrant. What you're about to hear is what it sounds like to stand up for the Constitution in Bush America. Bob, would you run Campbell County?
We're shutting you down today. It's fucking over with you. Okay. Wait a minute, Will, before you start.
Okay.
You get that phone.
Yeah. No. That's it. Cut off.
I tell you what we're going to do.
That's it. Cut all the way off.
Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put them handcuffs in front of you. Got you a little slack. But if you don't. We're going to put the motherfucker behind your back, and I'm going to take your slapjack, and I'm going to start working out head over. You understand?
I want to do that.
You're going to cooperate with us, because your damn dope being based from this kid has been shut down.
I've been talking to
Mr. Weber. You ain't done nothing but sold dope.
Okay.
Let me tell you, hang on, you're talking way too much. Let me tell you something. Okay. We're going to know everybody's supplying you. We're going to know everything about your business today, and
and you're going to take us, and where you've got your money, we're going to take every dime you have today, and if we don't walk out here with every piece of dope you got and every dime you've got, your fucking ass is not going to make it to the jail. And if you think we're joking, you're not, because let me tell you something. There's nobody knows we're fucking here. We're doing this on our own. And you're going to sign a consent to search form, and you're going to give us permission to be here, and you're going to do it our way, because we're tired of fucking with your ass. You're not fucking listening. You hear what I told you? I told you not to be talking, didn't I tell you not to be talking? That's just the fucking beginning. This motherfucker right here, he loves seeing blood. He loves fucking seeing blood. You're talking too much. You're talking too much. Listen to what I'm telling you. He loves fucking seeing blood. He'll beat your ass and lick it off of you. If you think we're here playing, you're wrong. I want you to start talking right now about nothing else but other than where your dope's hit at, where your money's at, and then we'll talk about everything else. Start telling me.
I'll copy and make you sign that damn form. If he don't sign it, I'm going to slap his fucking fingers.
What hand, though? You're right-handed?
You put cap him in front. Well, we're not, but that's as far as it's going.
You just need to sign.
You've been informed that we're here to search your damn premises, and you're going to let us. That's what it says.
You going to sign? Get up. I said, get the fuck up. Get up.
Let me ask you something first.
Look, you sign this son of a bitch, I'm
going to
hit you again. One, two,
Eugene.
Sign the damn thing. Sign it. Now.
Sign it.
It's going to
hurt worse. It's
getting
worse.
Eugene, I said sign the son of a bitch.
Hey,
God,
you don't put this to fuzz.
Eugene,
paper.
No, 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 sign the paper. Sign the damn thing.
Walk,
don't you understand? Sign the paper.
No,
sign the goddamn paper now.
Please.
No, you here. Sign the paper. Let me take that.
Sign
it up. Sign it up right now, Eugene.
And you have
get
it on the
everything's gonna be nice.
That went on for 2 hours. Two long, painful hours. The cassette captured the first 40, 45 minutes. You've heard about the first 8 minutes. During those 2 hours, he was beaten. You heard the kicks and the slaps. An overflowing toilet, face first, and held there. He was pushed into a fish tank, face first, and held there. He was hooked to a battery charger, which was, of course, plugged into an electrical outlet, connected his testicles to it, which, of course, violates the Tennessee and U.S. Constitution, I might point out. They also use car batteries, which are capable of delivering more current than the charger, connecting them to his testicles. There were threats to cut a lamp cord and plug the lamp cord directly into the 120-volt outlet and electrocute him. That's what it sounds like to stand up for the Constitution. What he was refusing to sign was a consent form to waiver his Fourth and Fifth Amendments, a consent form giving the Sheriff's Department a right to search his residence. They were not taking no for an answer. The force says that the right of the people to be secure in their houses, papers, and effects against reasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by the oath or affirmation that, and particularly describe the place to be searched and the person or thing to be searched. The Tennessee Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, says that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused has a right to be heard by himself and his counsel and to demand the nature of the charges and the cause of the accusations against him, and to have a copy thereof, and to meet face to face with the witnesses and he shall not be compelled to give evidence against himself. The Constitution in Tennessee also protects against protracted and calculated torture. The raid was for the inability to pay a debt, which is a civil contract for a probation officer. I want to point out to you, no drugs were found. I want to point out to you that no stash of money was found. If you'll recall, during that audio, they were demanding the money. Now, even so, even though the Tennessee Constitution, Article 1, Section 16, reads, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted. Even though the Constitution says that no excessive fines can be imposed, she and her husband were arrested and held on a $100,000 bond, even though no drugs were found, and no money was found. The Sheriff's Department, of course, these five men say that in no way did they violate his civil rights. A chat room is asking me the man's name again. Last name is Siler, S-I-L-E-R. If you'd like to read this, go to HTTP. It's piratenews.org. That's pirate like har-har. piratenews.org/tortured-by-copsters-n-tn for Tennessee .html. Again, that's piratenews.org, tortured-by-copsters-n-tn for Tennessee .html. You'll find the video and the audio, and you'll find a lot of disturbing information. It was only after the tape recording was produced did they stop blaming the victim. They had said that he was pushed. They had said that he had fallen down the trailer steps. They had said any number of things. They had said that, see where some of my notes here. It says, we used the proper amount of force and effect to arrest him. We made no threats of any kind to Eugene, apparently his name is Eugene Silas, or his family, said one of the sheriff's departments there. He says, to the best of my knowledge, no one beat him, no one mistreated him, nobody threatened him, nobody pressured him or hooked him up to any kind of battery cables, another sheriff said, who was there. They went to great lengths to cover up their lies. They lied for each other, which is not at all surprising. Even after they learned the audio tape exists, they began saying that, oh, I didn't personally mistreat him. It was the other officers that went down that wrist. The recording reveals that Weber cursed Siler and told him and the deputies that if he did not sign the form giving them permission to search, which should have, of course, been done by a judge prior to, should there was a call for, there had been a call to search, shows that the tape also shows Weber directed much of the attack, including clipping the wires to Siler's genitals. The FBI looked into this, and the state of Tennessee looked into this. As I say, it wasn't until after the audio tape was produced. The audio tape had not been there. Had this low-cost cassette recorder not been turned on by his wife, all would have been lost. As it stands, the five officers there were sentenced to various charges, brutality, violating civil rights. Let's see. I have their five officers' names. Okay. They pleaded guilty to torture of this man. I quite frankly didn't summarize all of this regarding what they were sentenced to, but in fact they were sentenced, but only after the audio tape. They were sentenced and fired only after the audio tape was played. The Silers are suing for $19 million. I hope they get it. I do not know at this time whether they did get it. Thank you. Chat room is pointing out that the sentences that they received range from 51 to 72 months. It's horrifying. What you just heard was bad enough. Can you imagine had that been a lesbian couple? Didn't pay their probation? Or a gay couple? Just because you're a lesbian or gay doesn't mean you don't pay your probation officer. Doesn't mean you know what I'm telling you. That was in Tennessee. Can you imagine what's gone on in the other states where there was no audio recording, where they have been able to say whatever they wished happened? I encourage you to stop by that site. You can listen to the entire audio recording. But that's what it's like in Bush America, and that's what it sounds like to stand up for your civil rights. It's not good. I have caller Jim on the line. Jim, welcome to the show.
Peter?
Hi there.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, Bob can bring up the volume, I think, to you. Hi there.
I'll do the best I can. Exactly what had Mr. Tyler done initially?
Initially, there were drug charges. I don't know what they were. Nonetheless, they were not serious enough to warrant prison. He was sentenced to probation. So it couldn't have been very serious drug charges because he was on probation. And when the sheriff's department showed up, there was a confidential informant saying that he was selling drugs again, which is why they beat the hell out of him, told him that nobody knew they were there, etc.
Well, it would appear to me as though these policemen had been watching one of the scenes in The French Connection when, I don't know if you're familiar with that movie or not, when Gene Hackman, playing Popeye Doyle and his partner, goes into this bar and, you know, they rough up the clientele pretty much. And it would appear to me as though these policemen definitely exceeded the authority. And did they actually implement these devices on this gentleman?
Beginning of it is the beating, and yes, they did testify that they in fact did hook the battery charger and the car batteries to his testicles. They did not connect him directly to 120, although they threatened him with it.
Well, that's quite remarkable. But I point out to you that I think this type of behavior has this isn't the first time that it's happened. I guess sometimes law enforcement believes that the ends justify the means. And I don't know what to say, but I just wanted to know exactly what the man had been originally charged with and why he had not paid his bail, or not bail, but why he had not paid his probation officer. Did he ever explain that?
His wife, when the officer was first there, I may not have read that, said that he hasn't been able to get down there. At another point in my text, he didn't have the money to give them on time, and it's hard to know. But regardless of the reason, you know, it's pretty scary stuff.
Well, I guess it's part of the reality of dealing with law enforcement when they...
Yeah.
Do things like this, I certainly don't condone their activity, and I don't think they were very professional in dealing with this man. I mean, I don't know if he was dealing with what type of drugs he was dealing with originally, but apparently someone really had it in for this guy, because it just seems inordinate that they would send that complement of force out there to simply just ask a man to pay his probation fee. I just wonder what the particulars on that were.
I do encourage you to stop by that website. I'll give it to you again. It will give you any more details that you might like. One moment, I have it handy, I think. Let's see, where was that information? Here we go. It's http://piratenews, that's pirate like har har, I have a bird on my shoulder, piratenews.org/tortured-by-copsters, copsters-nin-tn, meaning Tennessee, .html. And thank you for calling, Jim. I appreciate your call, and good night to you, sir. I have, and speaking of caller Jim, I am about to Jim made a request about a week or so ago, and I haven't been able to get to it. I have a teaser for the request. Bob, would you run the PF clip, please? I'm just checking with Bob in production. Do we have the payoff clip, please? Okay, we'll skip the payoff clip if production doesn't have that, and we'll move along to the actual request. I was going to tell you about the original version of this. Okay, Bob's back. I do need to run the Edith Piaf clip, please. It is called Clip 1958, I believe, please.
Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. Elle est pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, l'a juré pour la vie.
And Edith was born December 19th of 1915. She died October 11th in 1963. That was one of her major hits called La Vie en Rose, which means life in rose or life in pink, some people will tell you. An amazing track. She's performed this over and over again to standing audiences. Many stories about her past, that she was blind and went to a saint. The saint prayed for her and her vision came back. She was raised in squalor. I believe her mother or her grandmother was a pimp. And in fact, it was the prostitutes who gathered up the money to send her to the to see the saint. Truly an amazing story. Our caller, Jim, had requested that we run the La Vie en Rose track by Grace Jones, which is an old, it's a 12-inch, an old 12-inch from years ago. It's, and I'd held off on it because our good friend Glenn Rivera has just released a new remix of La Vie en Rose, and she does it in French, but she does one chorus in English. All the other singers pretty much do it all in French. But I'll read you this particular chorus that Grace Jones is doing in English. Is when he takes me in his arms and whispers love to me, and everything's lovely. It's him for me and me for him all our lives, and it's so real what I feel. This is why. Here is La Vie en Rose, the remix by our good friend Glenn Rivera. And there you have it. That is the new Glenn Rivero remix of La Vie en Rose. We faded that just a little bit early. I asked the studio too, but the rest of it is the intro and or the interlude and fade out. I asked Bob to fade that early. There's a couple of things I want to say before end of show. One, it's good to be back. In all honesty, I have to tell you, I asked Bob to tell you guys that I had a work schedule yesterday, but in reality, I'm actually kind of under the weather. Wasn't feeling real well Sunday night.